They live here, and they're chanting death to the United States. We're in spiritual warfare bigger than we've ever been, and we need to realize that. And no, we got musicians. You look all around. All the musicians, just raise your hand. Y'all turn around and look. Look. DC, y'all raise your hand. Beth, look, raise your hand. There. Christy, raise your hand. We got musicians everywhere, so it's not a matter of musicians, it's a matter of instruments. I was praying with God. I really was talking to God last week, and I said, God, spiritual warfare, we got to get serious about this. Show me how. And I believe with all my heart, this is what he showed me. So first, they all say this with me. Your best is yet to come. Say it again. Your best is yet to come. Now we're going to pray for Israel. Psalm 17, 7 through 9. Show how wonderful is your grace, Savior of those who seek at your right hand, refuge from their foes, protect them like the pupil of your eye, hide them in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are assailing them, from their deadly enemies who are all around them. Pray for Israel, because anything they do is wrong to the world, and they're just saying, get rid of them from the mountain to the sea. Just get rid of them. And when it's been in our backyard now, and it's big time, we need to do something. And the big thing we got to do is get right with God and get our back door, or get our trash cans. You know, DC used to say, when I said the Lord's Prayer, DC would say, Lord, forgive us our trash cans as we forgive those who put trash in our trash cans. So this is what this is all about. Okay? Now, say this with me. The church is not an audience to be entertained, but it's an army to be trained and empowered. Put some feeling in it this time. The church is not an audience to be entertained. It's an army to be trained and empowered. Y'all say this with me. These are the two most important hours of my week. Help me to cherish them. I'm here today to worship, not to be entertained. I'm singing to an audience of one. Accept my worship, oh Lord. Now we're gonna do this, and after we do this, we're going right into the message. Let's say this together. If you've got your offering, you can put it in at the back, or you can put it in when you leave. But if you've already got it, put it in. It's okay. Put your hand up. If you haven't, pick your offering up and hold it and say this with me. I lift my offering to you. Let it please you, oh Lord. This is my seed. Although it leaves my hand, it will never leave my life. You will multiply it. Accept my seed, O Lord. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Get your Bibles out. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Look at somebody and tell them this is not about you. It's about God and about the devil. And guess what? We win. That's right. Ready? 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You can remain seated because I'm going to read a little bit. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them also besides the Ammonites, came also Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Jedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Kind of sounds like the day we're living in. Okay, this is perfect. This is our day. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people Israel? and gave it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever. And they dwell therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when the evil comes upon thee as the sword and judgment of pestilence and famine, we stand before this house and in the presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to merit. O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know what we do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. It sounds like something we need to be doing all in the land. Amen. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benonia, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, all you Judah, and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thy king Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God. I hear that every time I turn the news on and see it get worse and worse and worse. I hear the battle's not yours, it's mine. I hear God tell me that it's mine. Let me handle it. But he's got to handle it in his way, and we've got to do what we can do. If you do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. Tomorrow go you down against him. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with thee. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And when they rose early in the morning, they went forth into the wilderness of Tekoah. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy one another. And when Judah came toward to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering off the spoil. It was so much. Are you tired of being spoiled? I'm not talking about spoiled like a kid. I'm talking about the enemy taking stuff from you. Are you tired of it? Are you tired of things going? Are you tired of seeing what you see all the time? And the church is being silent while the world is being taken over. Guess what? We've got the message. And until the rapture takes place, we are the ones, not the Congress, not the president, not the Democrats, not the Republicans. We have the message. Satan knows that more than we do. And so because Satan knows that, he finds ways to piddle in. It says small foxes that spoil the vine. You see, the big stuff, he sends the little things in and just nag and pull and grab and tear you to pieces. I was going to talk about Satan a lot more about him as other names, but today the Lord showed me this is the one. So here's where it's going. Spiritual warfare. Worship and warfare. Worship and warfare. Father, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, for this ability to be able to come into this house. We've got electricity. We've got cooling. There's so many things that we've got that other places all over the world do not have, but yet they gather to worship you, knowing that they could die at any moment. But they want to serve you and want to worship you so bad they risk it. Father, we don't have that risk, but one day, if we don't do something, that risk is going to be here in our own front yard. I thank you, God, for helping us, Lord, to do what you would have us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This whole day is different. I want you to know there's a reason why this is so different. Did you know that worship is warfare? See that? That's World War I. Those guys are in the trenches. Worship is warfare. Whenever the musicians get up here and start practicing and playing, they're getting ready to climb. When they start playing and leading us in worship, that's where they're at. And that's where we're at, whether we know it or not. We're in the trenches, and Satan knows it, and he wants to stop it dead in his track. All right? You worship, little brother. Let him worship. Let him worship. He's fine. Leave him right there. Let him worship. He's okay. Little brother, you go and let it rip, bro. How many want him to just let it rip? Tell him just let it rip. Little Walter, we're glad you can do it. Amen. He wanted to see me doing that. Praise God. Let it rip, Tater Chip. All right. Worship is warfare. Look at somebody tell you, worship is warfare. Here we go. Get ready. This is the deepest I've ever preached on worship in my entire life, I think. Worship is an act of war. Did you know that? Whenever you worship, you are declaring war on Satan. Every time you worship God, you are declaring war on the enemy of your soul. In the spiritual battle against the principalities of darkness, watch this. Listen, worship creates a wall of fire around the soul that's in warfare. Let it sink in for a minute. Worship creates a wall of fire around the soul in warfare. In the Old Testament, people learned that worship and warfare went hand in hand. And when they didn't get it right, everything they did collapsed. But when they got it right and repented, man, oh man, God would give them the victory. Deuteronomy 10:21 says, God, he is your praise. He is your God. He has done great and terrifying things, and you've seen him. How many here have seen God do some awesome stuff? He's done it in service. He's done it at hospitals. He's done it at wherever we've been. We've seen God do it. I'm ready to see it again. Amen? Don't you want to see it again? Come on, do you want to see it again? I can't hear you. Do you want to see it again? Amen. You want God to move, so watch this. Get ready. Here we go. Worship is simply this, giving God his breath back. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I had somebody the other day tell me, I want you to counsel me, but can you leave the God stuff out? And I said, well, if I leave the God stuff out, I can't counsel you. I'm going to teach you how to do some things, but until you put God in it, it ain't going to work. He said, okay, then I'll find somebody else. I said, I'm sorry. I said, when you can put God back in there and not tell me that God is not important, I'll be right ready for you. And he came back. Worship has given God his breath back. Power and praises. When we lift our voices in song, we pour out our hearts in worship. That's when a shift happens. The atmosphere changes. It's a very powerful thing. The walls that surround us, think about this now. The walls that surround us, the burdens that weigh us down, the battles that we face, fade in the background. They're still there, but they fade in the background when we begin to worship God. Wow. When you worship God, you wind up being transported to a place where it's just you and God. Just you and Him. Have you ever been in a pew worshiping, or been in your car worshiping, or been somewhere, and you just start worshiping God and you feel His Spirit, and you forget everybody else that's even around you? How long has it been in here since when praise and worship was going on, you forgot about everybody else in here, and you just worshiped God? It was you and God. It's a place of peace. It's a place of joy. It's a place of strength. You may have noticed today, no music, no singing, no CDs, no a cappella, no praise, no worship, no jokes. I feel him messing with me. I really feel him messing with me. I told Brandon a little while ago, I said, I'm feeling something inside I ain't felt in a long time. When very little is being sent up, very little is being sent down. Come on now. And when you're not sending up, don't say, I can't feel God. Well, maybe it's because you ain't sending anything up. So, Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Enter His courts, or enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. If Satan, get it, bro, you go ahead and get it. I love it. If Satan had his way, this is how every service in every church every week would be. Just like this. No music, no singing, nothing. And before I address the question why I'm talking about this, I know some of y'all are going, there's no way. No, there's got, can't, this can't be. It's happening. You say, well, it can't be. Well, let me just go ahead and tell you some other things that you say might not could be happening. Who would have thought a country founded on the Word of God and the forefathers, the early church fathers, saying our nation cannot rise up without God's help and without God's statutes? Who would have thought the removal of morning prayer and devotions in school? How many remember morning prayers and devotion in school? I remember. How many remember the national anthem and the Pledge of Allegiance in schools and ex-sporting events? How many remember prayer at school? Just prayer. You know, I tell you what, I coached a basketball team, and we prayed at every practice, and we prayed at the beginning of the game. We were getting stomped. We come in at halftime, and instead of them going, look, instead of the guys going, what's our new strategy, coach? They said, pray, coach, pray. Who'd have thought in this nation, built on God? Every other nation in the world, they went seeking gold. The United States is different because they went seeking God. Who would have thought that manger scenes would be outlawed? And in some places, they're not just outlawed in public, they're outlawed in private, on private land. Who would have thought the crosses would be outlawed in private and public land? Who would have thought the Ten Commandments would be ripped off the walls in courtrooms? I told somebody one time, they said, why do you got to keep mentioning God while we're counseling? I said, the Ten Commandments are in the courtroom walls. What are they judged by? The Ten Commandments. You rip them down, what you going to judge by? Same way, you put God in everything you do. So, who would have thought that? Now that is, listen carefully, that was facing the challenge of really, now here's the why, get ready. Above all that we just mentioned, all that stuff, the crosses and the manger scenes and prayer in school, all this stuff. The other day I was at a ball game and somebody was asking about one of the players. I'm standing up by the fence. There were girls, little girls, and three girls went out. All of them had pump pigtails, and they had them in the same direction. I reckon they all got done by the same woman. So here they go. All you can see is the pigtails and all their hair went about to here, and you could see their back. That's it. And somebody said, well, where is so-and-so? And I said, well, from their back end, they all look alike. And somebody turned around and looked at me and said, stop that. I said, excuse me. They said, we don't talk about stuff like that here. Their back ends and all that. And finally, one of the guys looked at me and said, man, you're fine. People just go taking it too far. Way, way too far. Above all that we just mentioned is powerful. And all that connects us to God. Praise and worship connects God to us. The Bible says in Psalm 22 and 3 that God inhabits what? The praises of his people. What? He inhabits the what? People tell me sometimes I can't seem to feel God's presence. I say, well, why don't you try praising him? Sometimes it requires a sacrifice of praise. That's Paul and Silas. They sacrificed a praise and God shook the whole place. Everybody felt it. So remember, all these symbols and all the stuff we do connects us to God, but praise and worship is different. Praise and worship brings God to us. It invites his presence. Now we're going to get ready to get your Bible out. Turn to Isaiah 14. We're going to do some theology. Y'all ready for some theology? It's up there if you don't have your Bible. I'm just going to read it from my Bible. Isaiah 14 and 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For I have said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the high clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They shall see thee narrowly look upon thee and consider, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? Wow. Let me show you something here. Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 opens our eyes to some spiritual stuff that's going on. We see it happening right now. If you get in that school and you try to have a pro-God rally, they're going to shut it down. If you get in that there and pick up a cross and walk around with it, they're going to shut it down. But you can walk around with death to Israel and death to the United States, and if you want us to stop protesting, then you're going to have to cut off all money going to Israel. And by the way, while we're out here protesting, we need you to supply us with food to eat. And we're really careful what kind of food we get, because we don't want to get fat and we don't want to get sick. So we got to have special food and special water. Not only that, we need you to send us duct tape and we need you to send us helmets. I'm not making this up. This is some of the demands of the people that are on these major colleges that are doing. So watch this. It opens our eyes why Satan tries to stop our worship. He wants to be praised. He wants to be worshiped. Not only instead of God, he wants to be worshiped as God. That's why they say we're preaching tolerance and have tolerance. They got tolerance for everything but Christianity. So, Isaiah 14. Let's get ready. We're getting ready to do another one. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 28. This is good stuff. Somebody say this is good stuff. Ezekiel 28, verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. It's talking about Satan. That thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. What did he do there? He messed things up big time, didn't he? Every precious stone was our covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabret. Look, the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes. Now we're talking about musical instruments. Was prepared in thee in the day thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all the ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted the wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before the kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled the sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and it will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be anymore. Ezekiel 28. Now, God is opening our eyes to Satan's connections. He's connected to praise. He's connected to worship. He's connected to music. I've heard it said a million times, and you only can use this to go by, so I'm not going to go as far as to say he led music in heaven, but according to this, he was made for music too. So he made a joyful, I mean a beautiful, beautiful music before the Lord in worship. He knows the power of praise. He knows the power of worship. He knows the power of music. Satan understands the connection. He also understands his power, because when we, whatever we worship, we connect to. I hear guys riding through the parking lots, and they're playing some music. Number one, they need to turn it down because they're blasting the whole place all the way down, and I don't know how to even hear anything. And number two, it's so full of filth and talking about, I won't even talk about the stuff that it's talking about, but it's talking about things that are illegal. If you get caught doing the things they're telling you to do, you're going to jail. Matter of fact, one of the protesters, they asked me, said, aren't you afraid to go into jail? He said, why? He said, they're just going to take me there and feed me. And he said, they're going to let me out. No bail. No charge. I'll be out in 24 hours. I'll be right back here. Where's it going? So look, whatever you connect to can control you. Worship is an act of war against the enemy of our hearts. Listen carefully. Worship is an act of war against the enemy of our hearts. Praise needs to lead in battle. Why? Well, number one, did you know when Israel was in the wilderness, do you know who led? Judah was always up front. You know why Judah was up front? You know what Judah means? Praise. And so whenever they marched through the wilderness, they were led forth with praise. Praise led the way. When they went into battle, there were two things. There was praise, and there was the ark. Of course, the ark represents it had a pot of manna, and it had the Aaron's bud, a rod that budded, and it had the tables, the Ten Commandments. So it represented God's power, God's presence, and God's word. So why does it need to lead in battle? Why do we need to praise? Why is it so important that we get this, that we understand this? It's because it conditions our heart. I remember living in Pamlico County, living in Merritt, and they had all these big fields by my house on both sides, and I would watch, and they would come through, and they would harvest the corn. And when they harvested the corn, after they harvested the corn, there would be stalks on the ground, and there'd be roots everywhere, and there would be hills. And they would let it sit there for a while, then they would go through and till it all up. And then they would start another crop, usually beans. And I asked my dad one day, who was a farmer, I said, Dad, why do they do that? He said, because if you try to lay seed on that hard ground, it'll go everywhere. If it comes up, it will probably not produce a crop. He said, but if we'll condition it, then it'll produce. We come in here on Sunday morning. You got the word getting ready to come out, being preached to you. You come here on Sunday morning. If you don't worship, if you don't praise God, that old hard, crusty heart you may have because you got in a fight the day before. My heart's still broken over my cousin committing suicide. My heart is broken. I love that guy. He was a musician. I love that guy. Heart's broke. The kids this week, PTSD from their parents. My heart is broken. Watching what's happening on our campuses. Death to Israel. Death to the United States. My heart is broken. And when I come in here, if I don't condition my heart, I may not hear what God is trying to say. That's why we have praise and worship. To condition our hearts to get ready for the word. It's plowing up the fallow ground. The Bible says, plow up that fallow ground so we can plant good stuff here. Not a little hard, crusty ground. Plow it up. When I came here this morning, I came early, and I went to praying because of all the stuff that's happened this week. Just had my heart hurting. It conditions your heart, but it also conditions the enemy's mind. It's warfare. When you worship God, when you praise God, not only does it prepare the soil so you can hear the word of God clear, and it really gets some good roots, and helps you shake off the stuff that you drug in with you. Some folks come into church and look like Jacob Marley, dragging the stuff. And God says, worship me. Get rid of all that. Just worship me. But it also conditions the enemy's mind. When our praise is silent, get ready. When our praise is silent, so is God's response. I have people tell me all the time, God hadn't spoken to me in so long. I said, if you read his word, he's speaking to you. That's his word. He's speaking when you read his word. If you haven't felt his presence, praise him. Even if it's a sacrifice of praise. When our praise is silent, so is God's response. When you go into battle, remember, your praise is your battle cry. There's a reason why God put praise in the front to lead. Because it's your battle cry. We are fighting a battle. We can't go up against all that's going to happen now and in our own mind, in our own ways, figure this stuff out. But we can start by praising, and God will help us sort it all out. But first, we have to be conditioned. We just read it. While the people worshiped the Lord fought for the people. 2 Chronicles 20. There's a power present when we learn to praise God instead of pout. Praise God instead of think about all the things that's going wrong. had a guy ask me not long ago at one of the detention centers. He said, my dad's dead. My stepmom died. I got a little brother and little sister. They're with somebody. I don't know who, and I'm trying to pray for them, and I want to be able to do something for them. He said, what can I do? What can I do is driving me crazy. I just told him this. You do what you can do, and God do what you can't do. He said, well, what? I said, so let's talk about it. What can you do until you find out what's going on? What can you do? He said, I can pray. I said, what else can you do? He said, well, I can find God's word, and I can repeat God's word back and forth about this situation, and I can pray. I said, so if you do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. He says, yes. It's amazing the peace that came over him. And I said, what you got to do more than anything is I need you just to praise God. When you praise God, it puts him in front of the battles. Here Jehoshaphat is fighting three countries. These three countries have got them outnumbered. They've got them outgunned. Any way you look, they're in deep trouble. And God says, wait a minute. First they sought God, and God said, wait a minute. I don't want you going out to fight right now. I need you to do something different. That's why I'm doing this today, is something different. This is so different. I need you to do something different. I need you to put some praise, get your praise on and put it out front and watch what happens. So praise places God in front of our battle. Praise prepares for God to move. Because as they began to praise, things said God set ambushments against all those that were against them. You need God to move? You need God to do something for you? I'm telling you how to start it. Start it with praise. Praise will get God's attention. Praise will get God's presence. And praise will put God in a position and fix your problem to where God can start moving. It's got to start with praise. So it prepares for God to move. And then it pushes back the darkness. When you start to praise, man, it's amazing what happens. Because it perplexes Satan and perplexes his plan. They're all about to get God's people. And they say, here we go. We're going to take them down. Let me tell you something special about these praises. There's seven words for praise in the Hebrew. And we're not going to go to all the seven. I'm just going to do one. Yada. When the people met up with three times the normal. Look, three countries against this one little country. Three! They met up. They walked out. And they praised. But they just didn't go, praise God. That music's too loud. That music's too soft. That music's too modern. That music is too old. I wish somebody else would be singing. I wish I'd blah, 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 blah. I've been doing it 40 years. I hear it all the time. But that's where Satan hits hardest. The Bible said that they praised. Yada means to raise your hands. This is a sign of surrender. This is a sign of intimacy. And this is a sign, I need you, God. When you praise God, y'all try this right before you see. I need you, God. I need you, God. I need you to take me and hold me. And I surrender everything I am, whatever I'll be, forever I give to you. Now you're worshiping. Now you're getting his attention. Now something's happening. You can already feel it. Hadn't somebody already felt something? You might have even felt in quite a while. And so here they come. These guys are trying to take them down. And here comes the singers going, praise God. And they said, they're fruitcakes. They're surrendering to us. They weren't surrendering to the enemy. They were surrendering to God. Wow. When you surrender to God, whoa, things begin to happen. It perplexes Satan. You cross up his wires. He doesn't know what to do. Because when you say, God, I need what you got. I need you to hold me, Daddy. I surrender all to you. Guess what? He's there. God is there. He's there. And when God is there, Satan goes, I don't want any part of this. So watch. It propels us to victory. Praises can become a very powerful weapon in our battles. Let's get ready. First, our praises invites God's presence. Everybody, we should all know that. Psalm 22 and 3 says God inhabits our praises. When we create a space for God to move, we've got something for him to do. He's here going to manifest his power. Our praises are like a welcome mat. A welcome mat inviting God into our situation. Remember that. Next time you don't know what to do, try this. God, I surrender all. I've got to have your presence. You got to hold me. Give me what you got, God. I'll release it all to you. And you let out the welcome mat, and God comes in. When God is present, anything is possible. Number two, I'm getting close to the end. Number two, our praise shifts our focus. We no longer stay focused on the obstacle. Now we're looking at the person that can do something about it. Number three, there's two more, three. Number three, our praises release our faith. The moment they began to shout and sing praises, the Lord set an ambushment against the three countries and came to fight against Judah, and they defeated them. They defeated themselves. They didn't have to do anything. He said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. Our praise releases our faith. It's not, well, listen carefully. It's not just singing songs. It's not just making declarations. It's declaring God is good, God is faithful, God is able. No matter what we're going through, God has got this. Our praise disarms the enemy. Because it wasn't their weapons that defeated them, it was their worship. It confused the enemy and caused chaos in the enemy camp. Wow. Get ready. Here it comes. Ready? I'm almost there. Worship isn't about the people. Worship isn't even about the music. Worship is about giving God the honor and the glory he deserves. Get ready. If God can't stop our praise, he'll hinder it. How does he hinder it? When we forget that praise and worship is not about pleasing me. I can promise you, over the last 35, 40 years, every song I've ever played did not please me. There was times I didn't even want to play the song. But I knew it honored God, and so I just gave it to him. And somebody got touched. But it's about pleasing God. When we refuse to worship or complain about worship, listen carefully. Watch. Get ready. Watch up here to screen. When we refuse to worship or complain about worship, you ready for what? You want to see what God hears? Wow. Satan is having a heyday when that happens. And it's happening all over the world. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. I've noticed when people complain, about whatever, the word. They complain about the music. They complain about whatever. And we fix it just like they want it. Although it's fixed like they want it, they don't change. It doesn't promote them to worship more. It doesn't promote them to what? To get into it more, because now it's just like they wanted. It's because Satan is out to hinder worship. I've been doing this for 35, 40 years. Some of y'all have been doing it longer than me, and you know. I'm telling the truth. No matter where I've been, no matter where I was at, I refuse to let a rock cry out in my place. Y'all say that with me, and I want you to say it loud and proud. I refuse to let a rock take my place. Say it with me. Ready? I refuse to let a rock take my place. Almost through. If the bugle produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. We come into God's worship, no matter what it is, where it's at. I remember at Bayview, I was there 4 years, more than 4 years, and there was two little girls, two little sisters. Now one of them's a nurse, and one of them is just repopulating earth. I think she got like, I don't know, six babies now. And every Sunday they would come and say, "Pastor, can I sing?" I say, "Sure." And every Sunday for 4 years, those two little girls stood there and they looked at each other. And here's what they sang. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. The first 25 times they sang it, people just kind of looked at them. By the 26th time when they'd sing it, people were standing singing it with them. And not only did they sing it with them, they even started shouting. Two little babes singing the same song. And actually it was even out of key. They weren't together. But it became our anthem. I was riding down the I-95. Daddy had a heart attack. I had the van, and I had all my brothers and my sister with me. And we're flying down there, and I'm riding in and out of that traffic. And it was going. Those people were driving fast, and I was having to do my best to keep up with them. Even Thompson, I'm having to keep up with traffic. And this one of my brothers said, "Well, if you're keeping up with traffic, why are you in front?" We got dodging in and out of traffic, and all of a sudden, I looked in the back mirror, and I saw, because they all went to the church, my sister and her family, they all went to the church, and all of a sudden, I saw my brother-in-law and my sister put their hands up. As I'm riding on I-95, I don't know exactly how fast they were going, but I kind of do, but I'm not going to say it, because then y'all try to do it. I thought I-95 was the speed limit, not the sign, okay. I saw them put their hands up, and they said, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I looked back again, I saw one of my brothers go, he put his hands up and said, it's me, oh Lord. That's how my other brother put his hand up, standing in the need of prayer. And so I don't know how many miles we sang, I think until I got off I-95, but still, I was amazed had the impact those three or those two little girls had. Praise and worship is similar, but it's different. Both of them are going, that's why I call it praise and worship. Both praise and worship points to God. I remember last Sunday in practice, I got feeling it. Man, was I feeling it. And I just, And I finally just got my eyes down, looked over at DC. I think DC had a tear coming down his eye. And I turned back and looked, and Brandon had his hands up. And I said, go ahead and move, God. Just move. Just move. Wow. You see, praise and worship both point to God. Simply put, worship is an inside job. In worship, we bow down before God. We bow down. We bow down. God, you're awesome. You're all powerful. Mary with the alabaster box, she got to his feet. That's worship. And she anointed him with oil. That's worship. Praise is an outward job. That's when we raise up. And so in a praise and worship service, here's what you're going to see when it's going on and people got everything out of their mind. They forgot about what happened yesterday. I'm not thinking about my cousin who committed suicide. I'm not thinking about those little girls that got PTSD. I'm not thinking about this guy in prison that can't get to his sister and brother because of they've been taken somewhere, you know. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. When I come in here, the very first thing I did was got on my knees and I said, God, today's going to be different. I need the people to know that I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not picking on anybody. The only person I'm mad at is Satan. And the only person I'm lifting up is God. I need you, God. I need you. And as I was praying, I said, Lord, this might be a little comical, but I said, Lord, I really need some help to keep on praying for this. Everything's been anointed. Everything you're in today has been anointed. Everything's been anointed. I said, Lord, I really could use some help right now doing this anointing and stuff. And about that time, I heard something. I didn't know what it was. I went out the window. And I said, well, there's Herbie with a suntan. It was Brandon in his Beetle. That was dark because Herbie weren't dark. Okay, y'all get that now? Okay. So God even sent me some help anointing this place. So this whole place has been anointed everywhere. In life's battles, when you learn to praise, it's a war cry. I know you've heard me say it a million, million, million times. You'll hear it another million times. I'll never stop till the day I die. When I walked down the halls after the doctor come and grabbed me in the cancer, he grabbed me with tears in his eyes, and he grabbed me before he even talked to me. He grabbed me and he hugged me and cried on my shoulder, the doctor. And I said, what's going on? He said, your wife's on one end, your daughter's on the other end. He said, at any moment, either one of them could die. And he said, there's nothing I can do for you but just give you something to help you through. And I said, Doc, I got something, but thank you. And that went on for 4 days. He finally asked, what did I have to get me through it? I said, it's more powerful than any drug you got. And I walked down the hall and I would say, naked I came from a mother's womb, naked I'm going to return. But in no way will I curse God. Blessed be your name. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. And that's all I did for days, just praise God, praise God. I didn't know what to say, I didn't know how to even pray. Just praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I'm going to return. I praise you, God. I praise you, God. And Satan and God heard it. But here's what happened. When God heard it, it invited his presence. And when Satan heard it, he ran the other way. I will never forget that as long as I live. Your worship is your worship. It don't matter who's playing. It don't matter who's singing. It doesn't matter. That's important. I mean, I like it to sound good. But over the years, I've heard some that sounded like, Lord have mercy, they were taking a cat and running over a washboard. I do remember I was at Bath Church of God, and the music director sounded like and even looked like Janet Paschal. Y'all remember Janet Paschal? Jimmy Swaggart? Could sing. I could listen to her sing all day long. She could sing so good. And one day, the church weren't worshiping like she thought. And so she turned around and said, are y'all going to worship God or what? That kind of, I mean, I'm over at the base. I didn't know. Before I could get to her and stop all this, she said, if y'all ain't going to worship, I'm not going to worship. And she threw down the mic and she walked out to church. She never came back. I said, God, now what do we do? Janet Paschal just left. And a woman came up to me and she said, I would really love to do this. And she stood beside me when she sang in the choir and I'm playing the bass, and I would be going, and she said, really? She says, I feel anointed for this. And I said, oh. And so I said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to try it. Let's just try it. Let's just try it. She got up there the next week, and the whole, for the next year or so, no time did they ever have to say, are y'all going to worship or not? The place exploded. And every praise and worship service was an explosion in God's glory. Because she didn't care. She didn't see everybody else. All she saw was God. And when she started looking at God, guess what everybody else did? They started looking at God. And when they started looking at God, oh man, it was such a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. Your worship is your worship. I didn't know exactly how to end this because everything's been so silent. This was even Communion Sunday. No communion. Nope. We'll do that next week. Next week we got music again. This is just 1 week. You got music next week. I want everybody to stand. I'm going to do something. Like I said, this is all by ear. This is not even by ear. This is just playing it right now. I've still got, look, I came in here with butterflies in my stomach so big I think they hatched eggs. I told my wife, I said, I haven't felt butterflies since I started preaching years ago. So I know that today is very powerful. And please take it. In a good sense, not a bad sense, not picking anybody, not hitting anybody, not pointing anybody, because we're all guilty. If there's anybody in here that's never complained about anything in the church, why don't you put your hand up? right now, instead of complaining, instead of trying to think, when I do that, who does it? Did they do that? Nope. I want you to remember, when you praise, when you really do it right, it's just you and God. I want you to put your hands up. We're going to do some yada praise. I'm going to explain it one more time, and then I want you, in your own way. Some people let it rip. Some people just want to put their hands up and cry. You know, I used to tell them all the time, back in the Church of God, and they were saying, you know, this is getting kind of crazy. And I go, well, yeah, I said when my wife worships, I said, she looks like a sprinkler system. And they said, yeah, but when you worship, you look like you cut the end off the hose. I surrender. Y'all say it. I surrender. I need you to give me all that I need. Do it. Hold me, God. Now, like nobody else has watched, without like nobody else even watching you, it's just you and God. However you want to do it, I want you to praise God. Go ahead. However you want to do it, you want to do it loud, do it loud. If you want to do it proud, do it proud. If you want to do it silent. But whatever you do, now practice it. God, I surrender all. God, I need what you got. I need you to hold me, God. The world is going crazy. And God, we don't even know how to handle it. Show us, God. Show us how to handle this. I'm tired of the suicides. I'm tired of the PTSD. I'm tired of all this. God, show us what to do. God, we raise our hands and surrender. We don't know what to do. God, give it to us. Hold us. In the name of Jesus, I want you to clap your hands like you just saw your favorite team. One more time. Now put some music in your mouth. Put some mouth behind it. Glory! Glory! Ain't no rock gonna cry out for me. Glory! Glory! Everybody in this place, remember. Remember this, and I'm talking to everyone, including myself. The next time, on your job, in your home, with your family, in your church, the next time you're tempted to complain, choose instead to connect. Because when you complain, you attract Satan. But when you connect and praise, you attract God. And I definitely don't need Satan doing any more. He's already done. I need God to get in on this. Amen? 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 Glory! Come on, one more time. You're attracting God. Go ahead, He loves it. Next week, we're going to have communion with music. Next week, we're going to have praise and worship. But I promise you, after this week, from here on out, I hope and pray that it's never the same. Amen? Come on. Glory! Come on, glory! Glory! Hallelujah! God's got this. God's got it. God's got this. Next week, let me get the rocks out of the way for somebody to fall. Look, I don't want the rocks crying out my place. I don't want y'all tripping on the rocks. Well, yours might be some of yours then. All right. So, hold it. Oh, here. Here. Next time you look at this rock, say, I might let a rock cry out in my place. Amen? Ain't no rock going to climb or cry out in my place. Come on, y'all, say that. Ain't no rock going to cry out in my place. Ain't no rock going to cry out in my place. Come on, say it again. Y'all say that out loud. Ain't no rock going to cry out in my place. Remember, when you begin to praise God, you attract God's presence. And when you attract His presence, good things happen. Ain't no rock going to cry out in my place. Ain't no rock going to cry out in my place. Come on. We getting there now. Y'all getting it. Ain't no rock going to cry out in my place. Ain't no rock going to cry out. That's for Jimmy. Ain't no rock going to cry out for your family in my place. Ain't no rock. Say it again. Ain't no rock going to cry out in my place. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. One more time. Give Lord a hand clap of praise, and then we're going to dismiss. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and after we say the Lord's Prayer, then I'm going to ask Brother Steve to dismiss us in prayer. Hold on just a second, y'all. Okay. We'll get to him. Let's go to Mike. Brother, I tell you what, God's in this place today for sure, because we done caught him up. All right, ready? Somebody put his hand on his back, and we're going to put it on his chest. You put it where you want to put it, and we're going to believe God's going to do something. Father, touch Michael right now. Touch his heart, his palpitations. Ask you, Lord, not only just to touch his heart, but to touch his back. Lord, I ask you, God, just to relieve this pain. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, bring relief in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it right now. Father, if you can make the sun stand still, if you can open the Red Sea, God, you can touch my brother's heart. You can touch his back. We thank you for what you're doing in the name of Jesus, we pray. And we're going to praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Give Lord a hand clap. Glory! Next Sunday morning, I don't want you to say, it's Sunday and I got to go to church. Next week, I want you to say, it's Sunday and I get to go to church. You go ahead, try ahead. God loves it when we praise Him. Amen? Amen. God's got so... Brother Steve, after we say the Lord's Prayer, you dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our